great to be with you tonight, and if you've been coming to Encounter over the last few months, you'll know that we've been looking at this whole question of identity, and we're going to continue to look at that tonight. And I'm just going to read a few verses for us, and then I'm going to pray and just ask God to help us understand them. So we've already looked at the first part of Ephesians, and this is from verse 3. If you've got a Bible and you want to look at it, this is a great moment to grab it. Verse 3 says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one we love." Amen. Amen. Father, we pray that you would help us to understand these amazing words and how they affect us, what they mean for who we are. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. If I was to say to you the phrase, "the boy who lived," who am I talking about? The boy who lived. Ah, oh, Katie's got a smile on her face. Maybe you know. Anyone know? If I was to say the boy who lived actually spends a lot of time at a place called Hogwarts. Yeah? Okay, you know who I'm talking about? Anyone know yet? Yeah? Anyone? No? Jason doesn't know? Hogwarts? No? Yeah. You know, no. You're smiling. The reason I mentioned Harry Potter at the beginning of this talk is because the story of Harry Potter is very much about this boy who's trying to discover who he is, why he's here, and what his purpose is. Harry starts to discover that his life is not just to be a sort of ordinary life, but actually there's something quite extraordinary ahead of him. In fact, he's part of a sort of cosmic battle between good and evil. You know, he and his friends, Hermione and Ron and others, they discover that they have a vital role to play in this battle. And they're frequently tempted not to play their part. They're frequently tempted to give up. They mess up. And sometimes when they mess up, as you know, things go quite badly wrong. But ultimately, they kind of persevere and they do the things that they kind of almost been chosen to do, it seems. And they, as a result of them kind of following through, they actually see evil kind of pushed back and defeated. And it's an amazing thing. It's a great story. I'm a bit of a fan, I must confess. I don't know if that's allowed if you're an elder of a church. But what's Harry Potter got to do with this series on identity? Well, this series is all about us discovering who we are, why we're here, what our part in this world is. And the Bible is clear that actually we're part of something much, much bigger, a bigger story. And I think the reason that we get so gripped by stories like Harry Potter is because they tap into a truth that actually we are part of something bigger. And we want to be, don't we? We want to kind of, there's something in us that wants to be part of just not something just ordinary, but something adventurous and something wonderful and amazing. We want to be part of kind of pushing back evil and defeating kind of the bad stuff. And the Bible makes this extraordinary claim in the verses we've just been reading. Not just that there is actually a battle between good and evil, but actually that we have a part to play and that we've actually been chosen. I don't know if you noticed these words that I read. It says this, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." We've been chosen for a purpose. Chosen in Christ for before the creation of the world. It's an extraordinary statement. It says that even before the world began, this is quite a big thing to get your head around, okay? Before the creation, I don't know if you noticed that little phrase, before the creation of the world. Yeah? Even before the world began, God knew you. Knew he was going to create you. Yeah? And that's mind-blowing, isn't it? Not only that, but he chose you. He actually chose you for a purpose. Isn't that extraordinary? I mean, that is so humbling. Before God did anything, before he made anything, he chose you and I. And one of the things I've been praying for tonight is that you and I would realize that actually our lives are much more precious and important than often we think. That actually you and I would want our lives to be part of this big story, this kind of big adventure, this purpose that God is working out that pushes back evil in this real world. And we would see what our part to play in that is. You see, God's intention ultimately is to destroy evil. Extraordinary. And actually we have a part in it as his chosen people. So we're just going to look at these few verses and talk about who we are and what our role is in this bigger purpose. And last time we heard from Jason, and Jason was talking about this amazing truth that we're saints. And the kind of thing I want us to see tonight is that being a saint is something that's actually wonderful and exciting. It's like being part of the greatest adventure you could possibly imagine. And this is the first thing I want us to see is this. We're chosen to be holy. Now, I wonder what you think about the word holy. Does that just kind of grab you and make you so excited? Doesn't, does it? It's interesting. Just talk to the person next to you. What does that word holy kind of mean to you? Talk to your neighbor just quickly. What sort of things come up in your mind when you think about that word holy? Do you know that? It's an interesting word, isn't it? I don't know if you've come up with maybe some positive things, maybe some negative things. You know, often that word can have some negative connotations. So people can sometimes talk about others being holier than thou. Yeah, and that's not a cool thing, is it? Because you're someone who kind of looks down on other people. That's an old expression, holier than thou. When I was kind of at school, and it was a while ago now. Oh, thanks, Adam. You're my friend. You're about the same age as me. When I was at school, you know, if you were kind of holy, you were just seen as like super, that would be like super good, almost like too good. It was kind of like, I don't know if you even use this word nowadays, like a SWAT. Does that word get used? Does that even, no. Okay, so this is someone who just always did everything right. Yeah? They were squeaky clean. They'd almost kind of look down on people like me and who didn't get things right all the time. It was always quite a negative sort of word. But that's not the way the Bible uses the word holy. In fact, holy literally means this, set apart. So if you were in the army, for example, one of the pinnacles of being in the army, it would be to be part of something like the SAS, yeah? The elite section of the army, yeah? That would be like the pinnacle. If you were part of the SAS and part of the army, then you were like set apart because you're special, because there's something extraordinary about you. And that's not going to be a boring thing. In fact, you're going to see the most extraordinary and interesting of action you could possibly imagine. And you see, when the Bible talks about this word holiness and the holiness of God, it's actually an awesome and amazing thing. You see, if you think about what happens in the face of holiness in the Bible, you know, demons have to flee. The powers of darkness have to just disappear. Evil gets pushed back. You know, in the presence of holiness, people fall to their knees, fall to their faces, because there's such power in holiness. I mean, holiness, this set apart, it's an extraordinary, amazing thing. If you think about the life of Jesus, the holiest man who's ever lived, it's extraordinary, his power. Extraordinary the way that when he starts to reveal something of his holiness, people just have to move. It's a very, very special thing. So how do you become holy? How do you become holy? Well, to become part of the elite SES unit, you have to pass some very difficult tests. Here's one account I read, okay? So if anyone thinking of doing SES training, Jason, I can see it in your eyes. You ready for this, Jason? Imagine being woken from a deep sleep and tipped out of your bed, forced into clothes that don't fit and boots that don't do up. Then you're thrown into the back of a truck which drives off into the middle of nowhere and dumps you there. Yeah? Sound good? Up for this? With no idea where you are and no map, you have to get back home, and you have to do it within a certain time frame. Oh, and you have to avoid being captured by the 100 infantry men and police with dogs out there looking for you. With no food, you may resort for a worm omelette. Earthworms fried up with birds' eggs over a campfire to stave off hunger. Thirst has to be quenched from streams, but check no dead sheep are contaminating the water further upstream. Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? This is the escape and evade part in the selection process to join the Special Air Service. Then you have to do like a 40-mile hike with extraordinary load on your back through the Brecon Beacons, these hills in Wales. And that's just some of the physical tests. The motto of the SES is "Who dares wins." And in recent days, you might have heard that there were actually, a few months ago, two young men who actually died trying to pass this extraordinary test to be part of what's seen by many as the kind of the world's elite military unit. Wow. Anyone up for it? Look forward to see the next SAS soldier maybe amongst us. So if that's the test to be part of the SAS, which is just an army, what's the test to become part of God's holy people? To be set apart, not just for the army, but set apart for God. What's the test? And you might think, I'm going to say, well, actually, the test is much easier. Much lower standard. But actually, that isn't true according to the Bible. According to the Bible, the standard to be part of God's army, as it were, God's family, is much, much higher, much, much harder. Because the battle you'll be engaged with isn't just a battle between flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities of this dark age. You need absolute purity. You need absolute perfection. Complete holiness to have a chance in this battle. So, how do we become holy if the test is even more difficult? How do we pass that test? It seems like it might be impossible. Well, have a look at this verse again that I was getting us to think about. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Did you notice that little phrase? I think we got it up on the screen. In him. In him. It's in Christ. This is a phrase that kind of gets repeated time and again in Ephesians. It points to the fact that actually we qualify as being holy, not by a test that we pass, but by a test that someone passes on our behalf. We're found in him, in someone else, through the work of someone else. You see, this him is referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus undertook a greater test than any SAS soldier ever did. He didn't just endure hardship, he endured the worst beating you could possibly imagine. He didn't just carry a bag up a hill, he carried a cross up the hill. And then he didn't just endure some hardship. He wasn't just kind of chased by dogs. He was actually nailed to a cross, crucified, killed, left to starve of oxygen and slowly die. It was a test that cost him his life. But it was a test that we know he passed. And the reason we know he passed it is because of Easter. Do you know, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate not just that Jesus died, that's what we celebrate on Good Friday, but we celebrate that Jesus actually passed the test, that he proved he was holy because he rose again, defeating death. He was perfect. He passed the tests. And then he does something extraordinary. He says it as it were, I have proved I'm holy, I'm perfect, I'm righteous, the Bible talks about. And he says, listen, I want to give you, you see this holiness that I have, this perfection, this righteousness, he says, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you as a gift. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world, knew that even though we were going to rebel against him, go our own way, mess up, not think about him, even though we would reject God with our lives, he knew all that, and yet he decided to come and die for us so that we could receive this holiness. And then he does something amazing. He gives us the ability to remain holy, to start to fight the battles that are ahead, to see kind of evil rolled back in our lives and the lives of others. So the first verse, the one that comes before this, is this. It says this, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, there are a lot of spiritual blessings in Christ. And over these coming encounters, we're going to explore some of these amazing blessings that we've been adopted, forgiven, we've been chosen, that we've got access to extraordinary things in Christ, in the heavenly realms. And that includes, actually, something wonderful, that it includes being able to fight against the enemy. It includes being able to fight against evil. This is a kind of back to Harry Potter. This is a bit like your defense against the dark arts training. Blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing includes weapons. And these kind of get expanded in chapter 6. And I expect we'll get there eventually, not tonight. But part of walking with Christ is discovering these amazing blessings. You know, God's enemy, and this is kind of the one of the big things that's been on my heart tonight. God's enemy does not want you discovering these blessings. Okay? He doesn't want you to discover that actually there is extraordinary power available in Christ. He doesn't want you to know that. He would much rather get you messing with sin. He'd much rather get you just messing with kind of wrong relationships or messing with all sorts of other stuff, whether that's with alcohol or with drugs or whatever it might be. If God's enemy can get you messing with that stuff, then it just takes you out of the game. Yeah? And he doesn't want you to realize that you're chosen. He doesn't want you to realize that actually he's got an amazing plan for you that involves pushing back evil, that involves seeing God do amazing things in your family, in your friends. He doesn't want you to see that. But the Bible's really clear that we've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You know, holiness means being part of this battle against evil. You know, evil is this thing that kind of just wrecks and ruins everything. And so God equips us to be part of that battle. And just as I end, I want us just to think about this final thing. We've been chosen to be holy, but we've also been chosen to be his children. And, you know, being his children is an amazing thing. My daughter, Thea, she loves the idea of being a princess. I don't know if anyone here likes the idea of being a princess. Anyone? Any other boys here? Maybe some of the girls, or maybe a prince. And I was talking with her the other day, and I said, do you know, Thea, you are a princess. She's like, what? I said, no, I'm not joking. I said, you are a princess. She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, have a think about it. What is a princess? A princess is the daughter of a king. Yeah? And I said, if God is your father, if you trust him, it means you're the daughter of a king. Not just any king, the king of kings. You're a princess with all the rights and extraordinary blessings that that position has. Or if you're a guy, you're a prince. Son of the king. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Before the creation of the world, God decided, I would like you to be my son, my daughter, princes and princesses of the king. Do you know, this means we're amazingly secure in Christ because of God's love. Back to Harry Potter. So before Harry was born, a wizard went bad. This is the story if you don't know it. About as bad as you could go, kind of worse and worse. He terrorized the wizarding world with a deadly curse. And Harry became famous as the boy who lived when he survived that curse. Voldemort, who's the enemy, by the way, he murdered Harry's dad, then threw the curse at Harry, but Harry's mum took the curse on herself to save him. She jumped in front of the curse. Voldemort hit Harry with a curse again. That's how he got that kind of lightning bolt scar on his head. But the curse was broken, and Hagrid, who's quite a cool character, calls this a great mystery. Lily Potter, Harry's mum, loved her son so much that she gave her life. She jumped in front of the curse to save him. At the end of the story, the evil one couldn't even touch Harry. And as Dumbledore, he says this. Have we got Dumbledore's words up here? I don't normally quote from Dumbledore. It says this, your mother said to Harry, your mother died to save you. If there's one thing Voldemort cannot understand, it is love. He didn't realize that love as powerful as your mother's for you leaves its own mark. Not a scar, not a visible sign. To have been loved so deeply, even though the person who loved us is gone, will give us some protection forever. Great story, isn't it? Great story. It's set in a fantasy world, but there's another story. But it's a real story. It really, really happened. Before the world began, an angel went bad. It's interesting where people get their ideas for their stories from, isn't it? Worse than worse. And God cast him out of heaven. But he tricks people into disobeying God, and he hit them with a deadly curse. And people lived in fear of death until the curse was broken. Jesus broke the curse. He took it on himself when he died on the cross. And when Jesus came back to life, he proved not only that he was holy, but he proved that the curse was broken. You know, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. You know, Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, that angel who went bad. He prayed that we would be protected from him. In our world, kind of all witchcraft is like the kind of dark arts of Hogwarts. So don't dabble. Don't go there. Practice defense against the dark arts. Get all your supernatural power from God, blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If he can, God's enemy will take you out of the game. He'll get you messing, get you distracted. But God wants you part of his great adventure. He's chosen you. He's chosen you as his child to be holy. Should we pray? And let's respond to God together. There might be some of us here who've kind of just got distracted, not realized just how precious our lives are, not realized that we're chosen for a purpose, that we're in Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize how precious our lives are. And Lord, that we would live our lives not messing in kind of the just stuff of this world, the stuff that will distract us from this big adventure that there is ahead of us with you. Lord, help us to come to understand and know and use all the amazing spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to use those at school. Lord, amongst friends, amongst family. I pray that we'd be those who know what it is to pray for our friends and see you do amazing things. To see evil push back and the curse broken. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.